Good day, everyone. Welcome to the CSU Relentless Gardener podcast. I am Colorado State University horticultural specialist, Linda Langelo, and joining me today is Colorado Master Gardener, John Weiss, in Larimer County. Prior to retiring in Colorado, John spent time as a vegetable seed breeder with an emphasis on tomatoes, carrots, and onions. John also worked in the food processing industry and for the state of California. Over the last few years, John has acted as a coordinator for the Master Gardener's tomato and sweet pepper variety trials. Now let's get to the heart of it, where we explore the horticultural topic of CMG Master Gardener's tomato and sweet pepper variety trials. Welcome, John.
Thanks for having me.
It'll be a great topic. How did the Master Gardeners get involved in the vegetable trials? Did you have a lot of enthusiasm, or was it difficult to get them to do this?
No, I think it was a real good amount of enthusiasm from the volunteers. The premise behind the trials was we get a lot of questions in our Q&A booths. And the questions are usually from newcomers to the area. What tomato or sweet pepper varieties will do well here? And we really didn't have a good answer. There wasn't any previous trial work. So it just came together. Why don't we grow some trials so that the information can be provided to the homeowners when they ask that question?
Exactly. And so what kind of a record sheet did you keep? You know, did you have like different diseases on it each variety? Did they check them once a day, a couple times a week?
We had a selection process that I used to identify those varieties that I thought might do well in Larimer County. And we used a lot of the published data from the seed companies or whoever we got the seed from as it related to, say, disease resistance, the type of plant habit. And then we used some very common criteria that applied in particular to where we're located. You know, Colorado has a variety, if you will, of growing environments, depending on where one lives. Generally in Colorado, it's a relatively short growing season. And with that, you have an even shorter harvest season. So the maturity of a variety is extremely important if the homeowner wants to get a crop of fruit before the next snowstorm.
Exactly. Did you have an issue with sunscald?
You know, surprisingly, not as much as I would have expected. And that's actually a good thing. Sunscald was a concern because of how high we grow things here. But the foliage, the canopy of the, whether it's tomatoes or peppers, was adequate to protect most of the fruit. So it was a very small percentage. But we did make a note of any varieties that might have an excessive amount of scald, which, again, we didn't see that.
Wouldn't that be really beneficial if you could get somebody in seed companies to put that on the back of a particular variety, that this particular one is more susceptible to sunscald? Or, but I guess then that would just be in our location.
Well, having bred tomatoes, I mean, sunscald and many other traits, we can, as part of the breeding process, we can select for those varieties where those particular deformities or other negative traits, we can eliminate those or at least reduce the prospect of those coming to fruition. But again, I think in the way of sun scald, it's really dependent to a great extent on what the canopy, what the plant cover is. If you have a lot of fruit hanging, if you will, from the perimeter of the plant, yes, you stand, I think, a greater chance of maybe getting some sun scald. But those are things that we looked at, whether it's sun scald, whether or not we had blossom end rot, common issues that homeowners raised as part when they visit our Q&A booths.
Yeah, those are some pretty common questions, even out here on the Eastern Plains, pretty common. And I don't know if you have been aware of Michael Bartolos. He's a researcher in the Southern Research Station in the southern part of our state. And he had trialed some peppers, mostly hot peppers, for sun scald, and he put them under 30% shade cloth, and they actually were more prolific and larger. And it was a really beneficial study. We replicated it here. Our master gardeners did it in a community garden, and it had the same results. It was really, really beneficial if the homeowner could do that.
Well, I think the homeowner can do that. I've been a big, in California, we never had hail or hail of sufficient magnitude that it was, we had to be concerned about it damaging our veggies. But several years ago, I got a hailstorm go past us and it damaged my veggies. So I went out and I bought some hail cloth. And there is data, as you've suggested, that suggests, especially in our environment here with the intensity of the sun, and then with, the likelihood that we're going to have hail through one part of the season or not, that using hail cloth, which does shade the veggies, and the particular hail cloth that I used, which is readily available online, is about a 10 to 15% shade. And so it serves several purposes. It prevents hail damage. It gives that shade, which does exactly what you just explained. Actually the veggies like it. They like that little bit of shade. And again, there's published reports that suggest that's the way it is. And then it also reduces things like excessive wind. It'll cut the wind down a little bit. Depending on how you apply the hail cloth, you can actually keep out large insects like grasshoppers. So I'm a big proponent of the use of hail cloth. And I put it on from day one when I plant seed until the end of the season. So it stays on the whole season.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And how long does that, have you found that lasts for you?
I think right now I'm on year three or four using it. One of the things I did find out, and it may be just the particular hail cloth that I'm using, is it does shrink. So when you measure the amount that you need to take, and I can't tell you how much, but it shrinks somewhat. You need to take into consideration shrinkage. So leave yourself another 6 to maybe 12 inches just for that shrinkage. I think the first year it shrinks, it doesn't continue to shrink. But like I said, it's lasted a long time. It's easy to cut. Water can go through it. So it's ideal. And like I said, a big benefit is that the veggies really like that, just that little extra shade. And they all prefer, and that's not just tomatoes and peppers. I've seen that in a large variety of veggies that I grow.
That's very true. That's very true. And, homeowners put out a lot of money for seeds and plants and everything, and they don't want to sit there and watch hail destroy everything that they've worked for.
Exactly. Which is why I really push the use of, it's a great insurance for something that we know sooner or later, whether it's this year, next year, or whenever, you're going to get hit with hail. And, you know, like you said, you don't want to spend all this time and energy to see your crop pretty much decimated after a hailstorm.
And you never know when it's your turn. That is for sure.
Well, you never know what time it occurs. You know, yeah, exactly. If all of a sudden you hear hail at 2 a.m, you know, by the time you put clothes on, run out and try to cover your veggies, it's too late.
Yes. Yeah. So tell me, how many seasons did you trial these tomato and pepper varieties?
Each one we trialed 2 years. And the reason for that is we see, you know, variation from year to year. The environment changes. It may be excessively hot one season, or like we saw in 2023, at least here, we had a wet, cool spring. And we could see with peppers that they were really slow to get going. We had a hailstorm 1 year that hit our tomatoes. And so we had to go out after the hailstorm and trim them up and let them regrow. And they did, but they were about 2 to 3 weeks behind schedule just because of the hail damage. So to try to take into account the variation we see from year to year, we thought 2 years would give us a good indication of how adaptable certain varieties are to our environment.
What criteria were used in selecting specific varieties for this trial?
Well, as I've alluded to earlier, you know, I think the biggest issue is maturity. So again, as I said, we have a short growing season here in Larimer County. We have a shorter harvest season in Larimer County. So we're looking for tomato and pepper varieties that have, you know, mature early or early mid-season varieties. And you can tell when you put them in, that's when you begin. The day of transplanting, if you will, is when the maturity number starts. So we want pepper varieties and tomato varieties that will mature within our dates and, you know, produce a lot of fruit, because homeowners, when they grow these, they want a lot of fruit.
Right.
And so that was really important. And again, if you get a hailstorm, early maturing varieties have a better chance of not only regrowing, but then producing a crop before the end of the season. The other thing with early maturing varieties is that peppers and tomatoes are warm season vegetables. So they like warm soil temperature, warm ambient temperature to get going in the spring. And by September, as our nights begin to cool down, they slow down. So they don't always set a lot of fruit in the latter part of the season. And if you have an early maturing variety, you again stand a better chance to get a nice crop of fruit before that first freeze hits.
That makes really good common sense to me. Were any of those varieties heirlooms?
No, the heirlooms are almost entirely late maturing varieties. Now, you can grow late maturing varieties here, so I don't want to say that you can't grow them. The issue you might have is because they're late maturing, the total yield off a plant may be less than if you were growing that particular heirloom in another part of the country that was warmer, had a longer growing season. So it really depends on the homeowner to determine, do they want to grow a tomato or pepper variety that they really like, but they may not get quite the yield? Are they willing to make that, you know, change? Or do they really want something that's going to yield a lot of fruit and they're going to be comfortable that they'll get that fruit before the end of the season? Or mix it up. They can grow a little bit of each. And I think that's a great thing.
Yeah. It kind of goes into the next question, if you can or can't grow late maturing varieties in Larimer County.
Yeah, you can. You can pretty much, but like I say, you know, tomatoes will slow down in September. Peppers, the issue if you're growing, say, bell peppers, is that they may not turn color if they're later maturing varieties. So peppers, just like tomatoes, they generally start with a what we call a mature green stage. That's when the tomato is still green with a slight blush of color. Peppers are traditionally green, and then they change color. Tomatoes will turn, whether it's red or yellow. Peppers do the same thing. They go from red, they go to red, yellow, and orange. With your later maturing peppers, and we saw that this past year, they weren't there. They were just a little bit too late, so we got a few peppers changing color, but the majority still stayed in the green stage. They needed another 2 weeks. We didn't have that kind of weather to get them over that hill.
Is there any other criteria used in your trials?
No, we look at plant type. So we have two, in tomatoes, you have two basic plant growing types. You have an indeterminate tomato. Those are like the heirlooms. Those are the ones you generally stake or trellis. They grow more in a vertical manner. And then we have what we call a determinate type, which is a bush tomato. You don't need to tie it up or stake it. It just grows right on the ground. They generally have a more concentrated fruit set. So in the trial, we grew both those types of plant habits just to see how they would all do. And in the peppers, you know, we looked at some that we thought were going to be a little bit larger plant type, and others we thought were going to be a little smaller. We didn't see quite that much difference in the plant habit in the peppers, which I think is good. So we look at those. Disease resistance is important, but we rely on the published information that we see from the seed companies to make that determination. But certainly, if you're having issues and they may or may not, and that issue might relate to disease resistance, knowing that there's varieties out there that might have resistance to that particular disease is certainly helpful to the homeowner.
Yes, it certainly is. So which tomato or pepper varieties really stood out in this trial?
Well, for those tomatoes that we grew in the ground, we had one that really stood out, which is called Hybrid New Girl. It's, in our trial, it was earlier than the variety named Early Girl, which is kind of the standard early maturing variety that everybody uses as a benchmark. New Girl was about 2 weeks earlier, a little larger fruit, very heavy yielding, and a great taste. As part of our tomato and pepper trials, we actually had volunteers come in and taste the varieties and rate them based on their flavor profile. And so New Girl rated very high for having great flavor. And it did that for both years. So it was the highest yielding, it was the earliest, and it had great flavor. So that's one variety that I would strongly suggest homeowners give a try. We also had a determinate cherry tomato, and we did a couple of years of very limited trialing for containers. Those varieties that would do well in a large pot or a half a wine barrel and so forth. And one stood out, and that's a Hybrid Patio Choice Yellow. It's a yellow fruited, little bit large cherry tomato, but produces lots of fruit very early and had really nice flavor. So of all the tomatoes, those two really stood out for us as we felt varieties that would do well here. And then for the peppers, we have the variety called Ace. And that was the earliest maturing variety for both years. So we did see a lot more red peppers from that variety than some of the others. And then we had Olympus, which had the highest yield. And, you know, so again, if you like a lot of peppers, Olympus is a good one to have. And then we looked at things like the thickness of the pepper walls, because a lot of people grow bell peppers, for instance, for stuffing purposes. So we looked at that, and, you know, Olympus and King Arthur were two bell peppers that had good walls and had a lot of four lobes. So it has a nice little box shape to it, so you can stuff your peppers really nice. And both Olympus and King Arthur also had the largest size peppers. So, you know, we give the homeowner, you know, a big choice if you're growing bell peppers. We also grew a few lunchbox type peppers. These are the small peppers that you can kind of snack on. And the one stood out, which is just sweet. It's an orange colored fruit, very flavorful. Lot of little peppers. It's a good size vine, a good size plant, but very manageable. So those are the peppers and tomatoes that we would at least suggest homeowners give a try. And hopefully this coming year, they'll be able to find them in the local garden centers.
I would hope so. Where can homeowners get the full results of these trials?
Well, you can go to the Larimer County Extension webpage. And give me a second, I'll look. So if you can't find it that way, you can go to larimer.gov/extension/yard/garden/vegetable trials. But if you go basically to the CSU Larimer County Extension webpage, it's there. But all the trial results are there. They can look at all the varieties, see how they perform, and look at the data, and then, you know, make hopefully you know, several decisions, give them some guidance as to where they want to go.
Right. I think this is a wonderful project. And in your estimation, you've done it in Larimer County. Are there any other counties surrounding you that you might suggest that the varieties in this trial would work for them?
It's possible. I mean, you know, we have a couple of counties, Weld County and a few further south. They may see similar results, but what we see often, especially with vegetables, is that location does influence the overall results. So the results that I've just went over are good for the greater Fort Collins area. They may not hold up if you were down to Colorado Springs or Gunnison. There may be some variation, whereas we might have a shorter growing season maybe than Colorado Springs, or we got maybe a hailstorm or got a little cool, or the amount of moisture is different. All of that plays into how well a variety will do in a particular location. So, you know, again, it gives the homeowner a starting point that they can say, okay, I would suggest if you have the space, try a couple different varieties of tomatoes or peppers and see which one does well for you. And it may take you a year or two, but you may find that, you know, this variety is one that just really does well for me, meets all my needs. And so that's the one I want to grow, you know, on a year-to-year basis.
Yeah. Well, you're actually setting homeowners up for success.
Well, we're hoping. We'd rather have them, you know, have a good success growing, you know, veggies. I mean, that's the reason they want, people want to grow their own vegetables, and they want to have, you know, vegetables when they go out early in the season. You always have that homeowner that wants to have that first ripe tomato. And, you know, we're trying to help them maybe have that. And then if Mother Nature cooperates with us, then they can hopefully have ripe fruit until we get that real first cold snap.
Right, right. So tell the listening audience, what is on tap for 2024?
Well, we have two trials coming up. The first trial is winter squash. Now, most homeowners don't grow winter squash because it takes a lot of room. And what we're going to be doing this coming season is looking at about 15 squash varieties where the reports are that they take up a much smaller footprint. They just don't take up a lot of space in the garden. They may be bush types or vining, but with a short vine, if you will. So we're going to look at these and see really how small a footprint do they take up, and then what their corresponding yield is. So that the whole, again, goes back to, if you have a limited space and you really love winter squash, this variety might be suited to those types of conditions. The other trial will consist of cut flowers. The cut flowers, growing flowers for cut flowers specifically, is actually a growing industry nationwide. There's a lot more interest in buying locally sourced flowers. And we decided, well, let's take a look at that. Not only for those folks who grow flowers, maybe that they sell at farmers markets or other places, but there's a lot of homeowners that just want to grow flowers that they can cut and bring into their home. So this year we're going to be looking at snapdragons and zinnias, and we're going to see how they, you know, how they do here. And we'll be taking a lot of data so that we can pass along, you know, that type of data, so that if someone's really interested in growing a snapdragon, they'll have something to go with. So we're pretty excited this year about both of the trials. And in fact, that's in another week, we'll start our snapdragons in the greenhouse. So we're almost there.
Good, good. Well, that's very true that you said that the cut flowers is a growing industry nationwide. Here we had a florist north of us in the eastern part of the state, and they started from their own farm growing cut flowers, and they opened a floral shop in town, and they are absolutely sold out. And there's another local entrepreneur south in Ray, and she is the same way, and she takes her cut flowers to other farmers markets, and there just isn't enough of those types of entrepreneurs around to fill the capacity that people are wanting now.
No, that's very true. What I have found is that actually cut flowers, there's a lot more involved in the selection of cut flowers. In other words, what cut flowers are you going to grow? Even within, and what we're looking at in the case of zinnias, there's what we call, there's different series. And so within each series, there might be different color forms. So we're looking at the different series to see if there's any difference among those. And the snapdragons is very similar. You have different series, and the series are based more on what time of year you both plant and harvest them. Some are more sensitive or like a cooler environment and shorter day lengths. You have others that want longer day length and a warmer environment. So we'll be looking at that type of interaction and really see whether or not there's any difference up here. And we'll be doing a bunch of small little side mini trials as we look ahead to continue our cut flower trials down the road in other years of other things that we might want to work on. So,
you know, thank you for all this information. I want to ask you, where is the location in Larimer County? Is it something that you would let folks come and visit or no?
The locations, if the easiest way for me to explain it, if you go out of Fort Collins north towards Cheyenne, you'll see the big Budweiser brewery. So we're on the, and I'm trying, they're on the west side of Interstate 25. Our trials are on the east side of 25. And we locate at the, what's referred to as Arctic South or Arctic North. This is the Colorado Agriculture Research Centers. And that's where our trials. So unfortunately, we have a field day that the public's welcome to come and look at the trials, but unfortunately we can't allow folks up otherwise.
Okay.
So we usually have, and if people are interested, they can always, you know, get a hold of our extension office and ask when the field trials are going to be held and come on out and take a look at those. But we do try, we will publish all the results. And usually they come out towards the end of the year, first part of a new year. And again, they'll all be available on the extension webpage.
Okay, good to know. So they can go to Larimer County Extension website and keep their eye on that.
That's correct.
Okay, great. This is great. Good information, John.
Thank you.
Thank you, John, for joining me.
Appreciate it very much.
Anytime. A thank you to the audience for listening. Tune in next time when we get to the heart of the matter on another horticultural topic.